Have you ever been told, I've been retired now 8 years, and have you ever been told by someone you love, get a life? Anybody? I don't know how many times I've heard that said to me since I retired. Well, here's Anna and Simeon, two people who had been retired for a long time. Had been retired for a long, long time, and have a glorious life, a life that they have found in God, a life that was truly fulfilling them in every way possible. And that's the relationship I believe that every one of us are called into, to come into a relationship with God, whereby we find fullness of life, fullness of joy in the Lord. You've heard the story of Anna. It's been read to us. Did we read it? We did. We had the video. Sorry, we had the video. And the video spoke more than I'm sure I'll be able to get over here this morning. But in Malachi, we read these words, Malachi chapter 3 and verses 1. The Lord whom you love shall suddenly come to his temple. Everyone in Israel were waiting for the Messiah to come. I don't know about you, but I've had many promises, or rather, God has placed things on my life, and it's wonderful to see how he fulfills his promises. His promises are sure and secure. We can take them as gospel truth. Isn't that wonderful, eh? Whatever God promises, he makes a way. He made a way for me in the wilderness, where there was no way. He made a way for me. You know, I just think of my life, and I have to just say that every promise in God's word has been fulfilled in my life. And I'm just so grateful for the Lord and his faithfulness to his promises. Well, Israel were waiting. Many were waiting. Some, like Anna and Simeon, were bound up in the work of the temple. When men like Matthias and Judas, who were terrorists, tried to bring God's kingdom by force, it just didn't work. But we find that here's Anna and Simeon, not forcing God's hand, not trying to twist his hand to bring about the answer to prayer, but simply just waiting upon God. Just waiting upon God. I've come to this place in my life where I realize that every struggle that I've ever been through, or that I have, when God has delayed, it's always because he's got something better, you know. Better than I ever dreamed of. And when it finally worked out, I've just got to stand back in absolute awe and amazement at God's love, his mercy, and his grace in the way he loves each one of us. Each one of us. Praise God. Well, Anna simply waited upon God to work his plans, his purposes in her life. In Luke chapter 2 verse 25, we read these words. Anna waited for God's consolation. God's consolation. That's a strange term, eh? To wait for God's consolation. It's a term that was used in Israel, and it referred to the Messiah, God's promised king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who was coming not only to reign over Israel and then the rest of the world, but also to save the God's people, to redeem them from the penalty of their sin, and that they might be restored again to a living relationship with God. You know, As I went through this, and also seeing that clip on the wall there, it just again came so strongly to me. God longs for relationship, folk. God longs for relationship. That's what He wants from each one of us. And if your life is not being fulfilled, it's because your relationship is not quite there, not strong enough. God wants more of you so that He can also give you more of Himself. More of you so that He can give you more of Himself. Well, here we find Simeon. Simeon came into a relationship with the Lord he was a wonderful man. In Luke 2:25, we read these words. Simeon was a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simply waiting for God's promises to happen in his life. This term describes God's promise of the Messiah, as I shared earlier on, coming with a specific mission, a mission to redeem God's people, to save them from the penalty of sin, but most of all, that they may come into a relationship again with their Maker, the Lord God Almighty, the one who loves them, who cared for them, who made them for a relationship, for himself. That's the whole purpose of life, fullness of life, is again being restored into that relationship with God. Well, we find that together with every believer, God made a way that every one of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus may be restored into that awesome relationship with God, where we know God's heart, where we are led by the Spirit of God, where we know and anticipate what He wants of us, His will for us. You know, sometimes I do things for Celia, and take the water sometimes to bed, so that we can have our tablets. We're both on tablets now, so you've got to take water to bed. And she'll come up with another pair of glasses as well, because she doesn't think that I'll actually do it. But we anticipate each other. And that's the way we ought to live with God the Father, whereby we anticipate what He wants of us, what He wants us to be doing, even what He wants us to be saying when we meet somebody. God wants to share our lives with Himself. He wants to be part of who we are, what we are. He wants to be the greater part of our lives. And that comes only through relationship. Well, living in a relationship with Father is truly Simeon's experience. Simeon was open to the Holy Spirit's leading in his life. A man who walked in the light of God, who knew what God was doing, who did not force God's hand, but simply waited for God's promise, knowing that God is in charge and He knows best. He knows best. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, we read these words. For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit are the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? That, sometimes, I don't know about you, but for years and years, if anybody said to me, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I would be full of doubts. Full of doubts. Now I've come to the place where I know God's word is more powerful than my doubts. If God says it, I believe it, and it will happen. It will happen. And here, in the most glorious words, for as many that are led by the Holy Spirit are the sons of God. And Simeon certainly was led of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 8 and verse 19, Jesus promised this. When the Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. Isn't it wonderful, eh? No more guessing. You know, the closer we are to God, the less we have to guess. Yeah? The closer we are, the less guessing. We just know that we know. For God leads us. His leading is so clear, so wonderful, so glorious. Well, Simeon feared God. Is one of his glorious characters, a man who feared God. And this is what Solomon says about the fear of God. Proverbs 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Look at that, eh? The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. How can we make decisions if we really fear God without knowing His will? Surely, if we fear God, we will want to know His will. I think the things that I've learned about prayer, the biggest struggle in my prayer life is knowing God's will. Yeah? Once I know God's will, I pray according to His will. And every prayer is answered. If it's in His will, it will be answered. Simeon feared God. Feared God, but also Simeon believed God. He believed God's promises. God's salvation and His response. Lord, now let Your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen Your salvation. Imagine that, eh? Yes, Simeon has been in the temple for years. I don't know how many years he's been in there, but Anna was there 64 years. Simeon was a long time waiting for the promised Messiah. And Mary and Joseph walk in with the baby, and instantly he responds. He knows this is the Messiah. He knows this is the Christ. And the moment he sees baby Jesus in Mary's arms, he says, Lord, now let Your servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen Your promise. Hallelujah. Oh man. You know, that we walk so close to the Lord that we just know that we know His will, His promises being fulfilled in our lives. I remember, you know, a time when Celia and I began to write down all the answers to our prayers. And because when you pray, and you just pray, and you don't thank God for answers, we were shocked how many times we had to give thanks simply because of the many answers that we had received to the prayers that we brought before the Lord. God cares about you. He cares about the things that you care about. He loves you with an unquestionable love. A love that allowed His only Son to come, live among us, and to die for us, that we might be again redeemed and restored into relationship with Him. Praise God. Well, lastly, Simeon practiced his faith. He wasn't just one who believed, but he practiced his faith. I forget your name now. Margaret. Sorry, Margaret. I should never forget. But Margaret said in the prayer room there, I've got a word, God. I'm waiting for God. And then she came and said, oh, God's given me a word. She was so excited about it. Yeah, God is wanting, more willing than we want to hear from God. He's more willing to speak into our lives. He wants to be part of every aspect of our lives, every sphere of our lives. He wants to be part. He believed God and he spoke through him. And this is what he said. Your child, Mary and Joseph, is set for the rise and the fall of many in Israel. Your child is set for the rise and fall of many in Israel. In the most wonderful way, Jesus would reveal the sin that so wonderfully covered by the veneer of religious respectability in Israel. And here Simeon says, Jesus, this baby, is set for the fall and the rising of many. Those who refuse to believe will fall, but those who put their faith and trust in him will rise up. They will mount on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they'll never faint. Well, the second person that we read about is Anna. Also in a glorious relationship with the Lord. Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher, a genuine widow. She was a widow and spotless, a spotless woman, a spotless character. She was found in the temple both night and day, worshiping and praying and fasting. I just want to bring out that word worshiping. You know, we come regularly to worship. I have come to this place where I recognize that church is not just the people. You know, we're so wanting to get away from the building as being the representative of the church, but the people in the building. But I want to say, not even the people. Church is God in the midst of his people. Church is God in the midst of his people. There are many, many churches that are functioning and have overlooked the one, the most important person who in his temple. And that's the Lord God Almighty. Oh, that in the most wonderful way, this woman worshiped God. You know what, worship is repeated 66 times in the scriptures. Only 66 times in the scriptures. It can be translated in this way, to come near, to come, to kiss, to come near, to come, to kiss. I don't know about you, but young people, have you ever fallen in love with anyone? You know, as a youngster, I realized that God wanted to have a relationship with me. And we used to sing a song when I was young. It went something like this. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. You know that song? Yeah. And God wanted me to fall in love with him. You know, I discovered this. That when you love God with all your mind, all your soul, and all your heart, you can love others around you even deeper than you've ever done before. Yeah? I discovered this, that when I love the Lord, when I fall in love with the Lord, when I yearn for more and more of Father in my life, I find this, that I have more love for those around me. I am more sympathetic, more empathetic with those around me, their needs and their struggles in life. I found this, young person. You know, we need to be practicing love. And don't wait until you fall in love with a young lady or a young man when you get older. No, God wants you, whatever age we are, young or old, to fall in love with him over and over again. The meaning of worship is to draw near, to come and embrace, to draw near and to come for a kiss, to come and be kissed. Oh God, God wants a relationship with us, but not just an ordinary relationship, a loving, deep relationship with each one of us. A relationship that we hide nothing from. We reveal everything to the one whom we love. I found this. That when it came to actually relating to someone, I had already learned in my young days to love God with all my soul, all my being, and with all my heart. I don't say that I've got it right, please. I've got both hands up. I'm guilty of not being the perfect son of God. But I want to be. I yearn to be. I long to be. And God longs to be your lover and my lover. He yearns for us to have that special relationship that never lets go, but holds on tight as ever. I know I'm running out of time. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And Anna, for 64 years, never felt lonely. In God's presence was fullness of joy. Whatever state you are in, oh, that we may find our fullness in God, who wants to be that part in our lives that takes over and fills us so that there is nothing that we lack for, nothing that we want, because God is our all in all. That's what Anna found in her life. The fullness of God activated in her life. I have learned that church is where God is among his people. Do you know something? Don't wait for the minister. No. Before we even come, oh, enter into a time of worship there at home. So that when you come, man, you're already brimming. I love that story in the Bible, where somebody glowed with the presence of God. Where's that? That's right. Yes. Moses' face shone with the glory of God. You know, don't wait to come into the service, man. Yes, it really enhanced when we are all together worshiping God. But God wants us to start right there at home on our own, so that when we come, we're already overflowing in the love of God. I tell you something. You come to church like that and you can't help it, but you hug and love everybody that you see as you come in. You just can't help it because the love of God has filled you before you even came in. Praise God. Well, worship is to touch the very heart of God. Anna, 64 years as a widow, she was enjoying a loving relationship with God. A loving relationship with God. May we, even as a young person, may we learn to love with all our being, all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. So that when we come to love someone else, we already experienced lovers. Oh, and it begins and it ends in God. He will never ever leave us. He will never ever forsake us. He's there even to the end. Hallelujah. Well, she gave thanks to God and she spoke of this baby to everybody who was waiting for the fullness of God's promise to come. He's here. I can imagine her testimony as she shared with those. The baby is here in the temple. Go and see mom and dad. They're holding the baby there. He is the Messiah. The excitement and the joy must have been overwhelming that day from both Anna and Simeon in the temple of God. And then just in closing, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. Hallelujah. In entering a love relationship with God, those who live to please the heart of God enjoy the fullness of life. May our experience of that each one of us learn to become lovers, real lovers of God, so that we can be lovers of each other. The Lord bless you and just look upon you with kindness and joy and love. I just want to pray for you before we finish. Lord, there's a new year coming, Lord Jesus, and we want something more. Please, Lord Jesus, teach us how to love like you love us. Whereby, Jesus, you lay down no barriers. Just as we are, you say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You set no conditions, Lord. We come simply believing, simply trusting. Father, please teach us to be real lovers that go right to the heart, that we may please you in the way we live, in all that we are, so that, dear loving Heavenly Father, our relationships here will be awesome because we've learned to become lovers of God. In Jesus' name, amen.